This is episode 149, recorded on February 28th, 2014. Packard pokes at no exoplanets for old bigots.
Do you really like Packard Pokes At and want to promote the show? Then go to cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. There are hundreds of items available, including hats, shirts, hoodies, and so much more. Every purchase from cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt helps support the show. Your Packard Pokes At coffee mug is waiting for you.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes At on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight for episode 149 is Joe Unseen.
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
I know somebody else is doing that now, too. And joining us from the far middle of nowhere is Dave, you're damned.
Dave's not damned, man.
Good. I'm glad he's not damned. I'm glad you're not damned. Yeah, the guy who played, if you remember him, he played Egon in the movie Ghostbusters. He passed away just this last week. He was a good actor.
Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis, yeah. And he's going to be missed. And like I said, he will be collecting spores, molds, and fungus now, anyway. I do apologize for the late start. A little technical glitch on my end. So all the fancy sound effects we have in the middle just won't happen on this particular episode, but they'll return next week after I have a chance to fix my little soundboard here.
That's bullshit. I'm out of here.
Figures. Well, anyway, let's get to our first topic for this evening. So you can do the do yourself if you want to. Anyway, planets are everywhere in the galaxy, and for the first time, the number of planets that we know about has doubled. We have discovered, well, NASA has discovered another 715 planets out there, and that brings up the total between 1,500 and 1,800 different planets out there. Now, these are not planets that, you know, like in our own solar system, because that'd be pretty crowded. These are exoplanets. They're out in space somewhere. The Kepler probe that was out there looking for this, apparently this last May, or last, was I think it was last May, apparently had stopped working when it couldn't focus properly. So it's basically just kind of sitting out there. But you're using it to the degree it can be used. And I think the fact is that we're still finding planets, even with the telescope that's still kind of broken. I still think it's fairly amazing. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a few different methods that they use to discover exoplanets. Stars that have planets around them tend to wobble. And so they measure the wobble, and sometimes they even measure the Doppler shift of the light coming to and from the star as it's wobbling. So that's another way they look for it. And also they can mask the star's light. They put an artificial mask over it to eclipse it. And sometimes they can catch a glimpse of the planet next to the star. But that's really hard to do.
Yes.
The Kepler Space Telescope was launched specifically to find Earth-like rocky planets. And it worked great for years, but like you mentioned, it unfortunately broke. It's like some kind of like gyroscope or wheel that works inside of it. They needed at least three for it to aim properly.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them broke after a few years of use. So it's no longer precise enough to find exoplanets.
I had that same problem with a telescope. I was zooming in at my neighbor's house to see, you know, try to zoom in, zoom out, zoom in. I'm just kidding.
I hate when that happens.
I hate it when that happens.
It's so annoying.
It is.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, ow.
When you get to the good part, it's like, oh, come on now. No, don't go out of focus now. No, I'm
But yeah, this before it broke, this satellite added our knowledge of exoplanets, 700 new planets. That's fantastic. That's just great.
Yeah.
And they're still not even all the way through all the data they have. They think they might have, I think, 3,600 planets possible.
Wow.
That they have to confirm still. But I was reading this article, and it said that there's some databases around the world. There's four main databases that keep catalog of the exoplanets, and one of them was an open to the internet catalog. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So I went and I checked it out. It was the fourth one listed in the article. And while I'm on that website, I noticed that they say, hey, if you like exoplanets, check out our app.
Well, they have
an
app.
It's free. Yeah.
Nice.
And so I went and downloaded the app, and I'm playing with it on my phone, and you can, like,
and you discovered the planet Vulcan, right?
Huh? Yeah, I was looking for Vulcan. No, it's not listed yet. We didn't find it.
Oh, okay.
But you could seriously, like, zoom into the Earth and look at the sky, and you can zoom out to the exoplanet solar systems. You could see the other star with the planets going around it. Some of them were whipping around like crazy, like, woo, woo, woo.
Wow.
It was, like, really cool. And, yeah, so I was playing with that, like, before the show. I was like, oh, this is a neat app. I'm going to spend countless hours playing with that.
Yeah, I'll have to go and see if I can't find that app.
Dave, it's called Exoplanet.
Exoplanet. All right. That's an easy app to find. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a pretty cool thing. This is the first time that they were actually able to find that many at one time. And it's pretty awesome that we have that much information coming from the Kepler telescope that we're still analyzing it, and still who knows what we're going to be able to find after that.
Right.
They say that, I mean, even with that 700 and some planets that were discovered, there's very few of them that they found that were actually, we believe, in a Goldilocks region in order to be potentially inhabitable or have water on them.
Do they call it that because there's three bears on there? You know, Goldilocks and the three bears?
No, Packard, that's no. just
because
no.
It's just right.
It's just right.
It
comes with porridge. It comes with porridge, right?
Yeah.
With porridge,
that's,
all right.
That's
and
it.
Little blonde girls that run down, that go into strange houses, right?
No comment.
I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
No, that's it. You ruined it for me. I'm done.
Okay. I'm trying to get over my anger of screwing my iPad up today. Anyway,
the article went on to say that they want to try and repurpose the telescope because even though it can't find extrasolar planets now, maybe they can use it for comet hunting and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
So they're going to see what kind of money they have in the NASA budget. Maybe they can do a K2 mission. They said.
Cool. Either or maybe the NSA will use it to spy into people's houses.
Oh, that hell yeah. No, they have their own satellites on that.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Anyway, yeah, speaking of strange things in people's houses, an Indiana woman in Muncie, Indiana, this is back from 2012 apparently, she drew national attention when she got into an argument with her boyfriend. And she apparently, I don't know why she did this, but she grabbed him by his scrotum and his testicles and everything. And she got a hold of it and she started to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. And he actually ripped his scrotum because of the way she grabbed him. And I was like, wow. She'd been charged with aggravated battery, a Class B felony, and which could carry a 10-year prison term. How would you like to be the lady in prison and say, yeah, I got charged with squeezing the testicles too tight? And, you know, of course, you know, if she does get in there, she'll probably get a lot of high fives because there's a lot of ladies out there that laugh at this kind of shit. It's really a sad situation. But the thing was, there was an interesting thing here about this, was that apparently they're saying that he might have been wearing some kind of personal device that may have contributed to the matter. What kind of personal device? I don't know. It doesn't say, which is really odd. I mean, what would you be wearing down there that would contribute to getting that to happen? Joe, your thoughts.
A cock ring?
Maybe.
Cock ring.
Joe, your thoughts.
I couldn't make it through this article without wincing.
I bet.
You know, we turned down the cow story to cover this.
I know.
And this lady, she's claiming self-defense in court, but from this article and from the original police report, which Connie dug up for us, it's all his side of the story. She was angry at him because he broke up with her. She's been drinking. She broke into his house and ripped his balls.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't go to jail for this, she's definitely going to have trouble dating in the future.
Yes.
I mean, you know, like, yeah, I met this woman. She gave me her number. Let me just Google her quick. Holy crap!
Yeah, definitely. Just, oh, man, that would...
She's a ball ripper!
But you know, there's some guy out there who goes, I bet she couldn't rip my scrotum. I'll give her a chance to, too, and I'll see how strong she is. You know, there's going to be guys like that or who are into pain. They go, oh, come here, do this to me. Yeah. Ooh.
I had fun on our first date. Don't break up with me. I'm serious. I have a record.
That would be, that's not something you would say. Oh, my gosh. Say that at the bar. Wow. Oh. Oh, my gosh. Dave, your thoughts.
I wonder if she was trying to grab his penis and missed and grabbed his balls instead. And if that were the case, would she be charged with a misdemeanor?
Oh. She was trying to do it. He's trying to do hand job extreme.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, I mean, she's being charged with illegally entering his house, mm-hmm, as well. So, yes. I mean, the self-defense argument, which was, it's a belated self-defense, or self-defense, mm-hmm, what's it called? Belated notice of self-defense well afterwards. Was it 2 years later she's saying it was self-defense?
Yes, about 2 years later. That's what I don't understand. How do they understand, they say it's self-defense, if she entered his house... She enters his house illegally, but it's self-defense. How does that work?
She hit him several times in the head before grabbing his scrotum, and apparently a portion of his scrotum was detached as well.
Ouch.
Which is absolutely, I don't know, it's terrifying.
It terrifying. Yes, it's very terrifying.
So this actually reminded me of an anecdote that my mother went to a self-defense course for teachers, mm-hmm, and she was a teacher, so there was an in-service that was done for all the women teachers when they were walking to their cars afterwards. Mm-hmm. So they do this self-defense course, and they had told the women to act submissive until they got close, and then you could gouge the man's eyeballs out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a kind of, they use the thumb and they go, right, like that.
Right. Or car keys,
yeah.
Exactly. So then they say if he gets to the point where he gets his pants down, to grab him by his scrotum, twist and pull.
Now twist and shout, like the song? Twist and shout.
So at this point, one of the older women in the course raises her hand and actually asks the teacher if this twisting and pulling makes the man's eyes pop back in.
Oh, my gosh. I'd make a pop out, I would think. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I read this, and I remembered my mother telling me this story, and it all came together in this beautiful anecdote that I thought I'd share with you guys today.
Okay.
Your mother tells the best stories.
Yeah, she does.
I know, right?
Crystal in the chat room was saying, let's play Dirty Twister. That's the wrong way to play Twister.
That is the wrong way to play Twister. Just say no to that kind of Twister.
Yeah, that's just say no.
I want to know what this guy was doing. Actually, I don't want to know what this guy was doing when she broke into his house.
I don't know.
His scrotum was just out. You know? What are you doing here? Oh, let me put my scrotum away. Wait, let go!
let me put my undisclosed scrotum device away.
Well, you know, it does say it was he had a personal device on, so I don't know. Maybe he had one of those, those fake mouths that they.
Well,
had.
I mean, it could be any.
Could be anything.
It led me to Googling devices that one would wear on a scrotum.
Uh huh.
I won't even go into details of some of the things that I found. apparently, there's scrotum stretching. Scrotum stretching. Apparently, some men feel that their balls are too close to their body, and they'd like to stretch it so it hangs lower.
Whoa!
I don't.
I've never heard of that. That is that's bizarre. I'm not saying I doubt it. I've heard everything. Dave, you've added a new layer right there of stuff I've never heard before.
I Googled scrotum device. What do you expect?
Of course. What That's just something that doesn't occur to me. Just to Google it. Just the scrotum stretching. I don't know.
I didn't Google stretching. Stretching came up from the search.
Oh, right. Of course.
I'm not that weird.
I don't know, Dave. You're on this show.
A buddy of mine once showed me some videos. He's like, hey, you ever see this? And he started showing me these videos on the internet of people who like self-mutilate their genitals with razor blades.
Ouch.
I guess that's a thing. And like, I almost threw up. I was like, what? What? And he's like, no, watch this, watch this. I'm like, I'm not watching that. Get the fuck out of here.
These are guys doing this to themselves?
Yeah, they cut their fucking scrotums open and play with their balls.
Oh my! All right, I heard this.
Disgusting.
I heard this story. I don't remember where I heard it, but I heard this story. This guy, he apparently had a testicle removed, and they had a fake one put in place. And what he would do was he'd either pop it out, and he would like literally beat it on the chair for people, or he would like have people come up and whack it with things.
It was open. So he
So it was like he was open, so he could just pop it out whenever he wanted to. I guess.
And there's people who see doctors just to have children.
Yeah.
I bet you that guy is like mad fertile.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember the whole details. It was a long time ago. But I remember he would take it out, from what I remember, he would take it out and he literally pound it down a table. I mean, I don't know what kind of company he's keeping. He's like, hey, everybody want to see me pound my testicles on the table? Boom, 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 boom. You know, that would make me just want to just fall over and die just like looking at something like that. Like, oh, my God.
I don't know. It sounds like a good drinking buddy to me.
I'm going to say it again. We could have covered the cow story.
Hey, I'd go to the bar with that guy. That's all I'm saying.
There's a great way to wear a bar bet.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I was like, oh, he probably wins money everywhere he goes. He's like, hey, I bet you $100. Yeah, I can show you something you ain't never seen before.
I can put this cold beer on top of my testicle and it won't hurt me none. Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, if you have testicle that you want to pop out, or you want to tell us about it, or you want to tell us about anything.
Don't tell us about this stuff.
Don't tell us about that, but you can tell us anything
else.
We'll
do too much.
Right. But you can
yourself.
You can tell us about stuff. The number is 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727. Give us a call. Tell us what you think of the show. Tell us anything, pretty much. And in the meantime, we're going to give you some information and how you can contact us in other ways. And we'll be back shortly to ruin the rest of the show for you.
Would you like to contact us? Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host, with occasional guest hosts, enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can reach us 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, on A Can on a String, Smoke Signals, Star Trek Communicator. Those may not work, but you can contact us on Twitter as PackardPokesAt, and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. You can also listen and join in the conversation live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on faunlive.tv/PackardPokesAt. You can find past shows on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Help us out by rating, commenting, subscribing, retweeting, and reposting the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. Would you like to help keep the show running and pick up some awesome Packard Pokesat merchandise? Visit cafepress.com/PackardPokesat today and buy hats, shirts, or one of over 300 other items that are also available. Visit PackardPokesat.wordpress.com for links to the news articles covered tonight and more information on this or other episodes. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and your support.
And thank you, Joe. Even though my soundboard is screwed up, fortunately, I didn't screw up my computer. So I'm not that goofy. Speaking of goofy, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Again, I don't have any music today, so kind of do the music in your head if you want to. tonight we're going to be talking about our lovely Brian Fisher, that big bigot. You know, he's off the rails again, and we got a little video. We're gonna show that to you right now.
So I'm suggesting, yeah, Jim Crow is back, but it's because of the work of Big Gay and their allies, including the NFL. Now, the NFL, remember, has threatened to pull the Super Bowl from Arizona if they don't bow at the knee or bow the knee to the god of gayness. NFL says, we'll come in and we'll yank the Super Bowl. That's economic advantages. That's social disadvantages right there. So, you know, what the NFL is saying to Arizona, if you continue to support religious liberty, we are going to segregate you from the rest of society. In other words, what the NFL is saying to Arizona, if you don't bow the knee to the god of gayness, you cannot sit at our lunch counter. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is Jim Crow. NFL saying to Arizona, if you don't capitulate to political correctness on the issue of homosexuality and religious liberty, you cannot drink from our fountain. You got to go find your own fountain to drink from.
Wow, that guy is a real bigot. The thing he keeps referring to is big gay. I still have no fucking idea what big gay is. Religious people have 80% of the population of this country. Who is big fucking gay? I mean, come on now. Who is big gay? I mean, if he's talking about the people who are also trying to stop them, like the NFL, if the NFL is big gay, he's watching it wrong. I mean, there's a lot of ladies that enjoy watching the NFL, not because, you know, they enjoy watching people run around with football. I mean, I'm not speaking for all women now. I'm just saying that I've heard this from women. They like to watch the guys run around because they put them in those tight pants. And they just want to go, oh, I can just squeeze his butt. I've heard him say this. So I'm not repeating anything that hasn't already been said. but these,
Connie's like, it's the pants package.
But the NFL is not the first time they said that they were going to boycott Arizona for doing something. Back in 2010, there was they had the immigration bill, the papers please thing there, and they were going to be in that state. And they said, you either decline on this bill, veto it, or we're going to take our money, which is all of it, and we're going to leave. Plus, the fact is, the Chamber of Commerce in the state of Arizona had a little sit down with Jan Brewer and said, you know, all these businesses don't like this. And there's an old saying, money talks, bullshit walks, and religion is bullshit. And if you don't take it and get rid of it, we're going to walk. And she goes, fuck, I'm not going to take care. I'm not going to capitulate to this if you're going to take your money away from me. No. I will do anything you say. So I will veto this bill, and I'll make up some cock and bull story. Say, oh, it's not right for Arizona. Bullshit. You know, it was money. That's what the GOP runs on, is money. He goes on to say about religious liberty. So is that what they're calling discrimination now? You know, because the fact is that religious people...
Precisely.
Yes.
That's what it's called.
Yes, that's what it's called. It's not religious liberty. It's called religious discrimination. You know, just because you believe a thing doesn't mean everybody has to believe a thing. It's just that's the way it goes. And he says that we are going to be segregated. You know what? Bigots should be segregated from the society because they obviously cannot intermingle with people of rational thought. If you're a bigot, fucking just leave everybody else alone. I mean, I know it's really hard for you to do if you're a bigot out there, but you know what? We don't have to be tolerant of your intolerance. It's just that simple. And he says the god of gayness. I thought this was hilarious because the simple fact is that God is supposed to create everything, right? So he's basically telling everybody that their god is gay. I guess that's where there's this picture. It shows God supposedly touching the other guy, but instead of touching the finger, he's touching his wiener. Just Google it.
Classic.
You'll just find. Yeah, just Google it. You'll find it.
He's touching Adam's tiny wiener.
Yes, he is. And that's just my humble opinion that these people should be segregated out if they're going to be bigots. Also, and it says that the Christians should go find their own drink fountain. In a previous video, he says, well, the gay people, if they don't like it, they could just go somewhere else. They don't need to go use those services. They could just go to use another service. But when it comes to his religious bigotry. Oh, not us. We don't have to go nowhere. We should be able to go anywhere we want to. Do you see the picture now, Brian? Do you get it now? Joe, your thoughts?
No, Brian Fisher. Anti-gay laws are Jim Crow for gay people, not for Christians.
Right.
So grow up. It's like Arizona and Uganda should get together and go bowling.
Yeah.
I mean, what's happening here? We were so critical of Russia leading up to the Olympics because of their anti-gay policies, but they pointed their finger right back at us.
Yeah.
We have so many states now that are joining us in the 21st century and a handful of states trying to drag us back to the 1950s. I read an interesting blog post today on Salon called I Lost My Dad to Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that the majority of these anti-gay fuddy-duddies are retired baby boomers who live in retirement states and spend all their day being angry as they watch Fox News.
Yeah.
And what do you know? Arizona is like Florida. It's a state where people retire and because it's warm and sunny. And, you know, that's where all these fuddy-duddy bigots who are like, it's the gay agenda, you know, bullshit. Is like, goddamn homosexuals, get off my fucking lawn.
Get off my lawn. What do you think? I don't understand.
You're not going to get me into assless chaps.
That's what I don't understand about these religious nut jobs that are trying to get against everybody, against people who are gay to get married, you know, or just anybody to have any right gay rights, you know, or they don't want actually. The thing is, they think that the gays are going to take over and they're going to make people get married if somebody else. Like Joe, you're married, so because if you live in a state that allows gay marriage, you have to get a divorce and marry a guy. No, yeah. You don't. This is their mentality, or they think that if they have the same rights, that we can't discriminate against them anymore. We can't do what we want. Well, duh. You know, you can't have more rights. People have to have equal rights in this country. Not Christians get more rights, and just because you're a gay or an atheist or a Jew or a Muslim or whatever, it doesn't mean you get less rights. This is a country supposed to be of equal rights, not more rights for Christian rights. I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
That's pretty much it. I mean, what was that famous quote from John Stewart? It's not oppressing your religion just because you didn't get your way.
That's right. That's basically it. That's basically it. Joe, your thoughts. Or Dave, your thoughts. Sorry. Having a date.
For the record, I don't think that anyone should be segregated, even bigots. Bigots shouldn't be segregated. They should be allowed to be bigots. They just shouldn't be allowed to create and draft legislature that, you know, it makes bigotry the law of the land.
Yeah.
Which is absurd.
Like I said, that was just my opinion. Just, you know, I wasn't going to say keep them out forever. I was just going to add in just until they can learn to behave like normal people.
I mean, equal rights and free speech. I think that, you know, if they want to be a bigot and they want to say whatever, it just reflects on them poorly. I mean,
that's true.
It makes them look like an asshole and the rest of the world sees that they're an asshole and we can all say, look at the asshole. And we all place ourselves. I mean, we all know that when someone's a bigot, it's a reflection on themselves.
True.
And frankly, the vast majority of us can play nice with one another. And the people who can't look like jerks, and we all know that they're jerks.
Yep.
I find it interesting that the NFL is calling someone out for being anti-gay, considering some of the issues that they've had recently with anti-gay stances and problems in the locker rooms and this and that.
Didn't one of their players just come out recently about being gay?
Yeah, the very first ever.
Oh, really? Yeah, I remember hearing something about that. He came out, and this was not like when he was just after he got traded or anything like this. And this is like preseason, so he has a lot on the line. They could say, oh, well, you're gay. We don't want you in the locker room with our other guys. They, you know, that's what they could have done, but they didn't do that. And apparently a lot of the other players already knew he was gay, but it never came out until just recently.
Yeah, I mean, there have been harassment cases that have been filed recently in the NFL for locker room problems with homosexuality. And that's, I just find it interesting that after that and the issues that they're having, they're going to turn, and maybe it's just because this is slightly more recent and they're trying to change their the way that they're viewed and all of that. It could be. I don't know. But it's interesting that the NFL is taking that stance.
Yes, it is. It really is. It just, I think the NFL is taking this stance. I mean, my opinion again, that they know if there's controversy in a state, then it reflects poorly on them if they are giving money to a state that has all this, well, drama, basically. And that's basically what it is. And people, when it comes to their football, the only drama they want is whose team is winning, who's got the better stats and who's got the worst stats, and who's got more home runs or touchdowns or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a football guy.
Oh, nor am I. The only thing that I've actually followed has been the discrimination cases that have been going on recently, because I thought that was interesting. The other things, I mean, this whole Brian Fisher thing, he redid that same video in a blog form and expanded on it a little bit and went into the whole wedding cake thing, the couple from Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
What was the ruling was that they were discriminating against people by refusing to make cakes for homosexuals.
Yeah, that's where this started at.
Right.
And
right.
There was also a photographer down there that wouldn't take photography at a gay wedding, and that was part of it too. They said, and like I said in a previous video, it's like, well, just because they don't want to take your photograph, you shouldn't make them do it. You can go elsewhere. But then,
right.
he turns it around and says, oh, well, we shouldn't have to go elsewhere. They should, you know.
That's condoning harassment, or condoning discrimination.
Exactly.
It's being dismissive. You could just go elsewhere. It's a free economy. You could go elsewhere.
Right.
Well, that's why we have anti-discrimination laws, so
right.
You don't have to go elsewhere.
Exactly. But when he says, oh, well, they're going to make us go elsewhere. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander there, Brian. You know, but
yeah,
the thing is, though, we're not trying to discriminate against you. We're trying to keep you from discriminating against everybody else.
Well, that's the point, is that he's being very hypocritical in the sense that he over and over and over again has pushed discrimination against other people. And then as soon as he feels that he's being discriminated against, when it's really not, it's taking privilege away from someone, is not discrimination.
Right.
Which is really what's going on. You're taking their privilege to place their religion above everyone else's equality.
Equal privilege. They want to have more. That's the key is.
Well, equal rights instead of one group having privilege over everyone else.
Right. That's what it is. They want to have more privileges because they think because they're religious and they're Christian that they should get more privileges than everybody else.
Right.
And that's and it's just not right. I mean, this is country was supposed to be, you know, equal rights, not theoretically, anyway.
That's what they said, but, you know, they also founded it with black people only getting one-third of a vote.
True. Or one-third of a person
worth,
counted as one-third of a person.
They couldn't vote.
Right. They were counted as one-third of a person. But, you know, that was then, you know, but now we've progressed to a point now where, you know, we're supposed to have equal rights in this country. I know it's theoretical because there's a lot of inequality out there.
Well, that's the thing, is that these rights people have to fight for, and people do fight for, and every time that people are fighting for them, there's a lot of resistance towards that. But eventually we can do the right thing and truly have equality in this country, and the people who fight against it, just like the people who fought against, black rights in the civil rights movement.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they look like assholes then, and when you look at those black and white pictures, and these guys in 50 years are going to look like assholes then.
Yep. Absolutely. I've seen those ones where they show, oh, don't let the black people in to vote, or don't let them do this. And then there was another one, don't let women vote, or whatever. That was before that, I suppose. Don't let women vote, and then it was the same thing. Don't let women, don't let gay, or don't let black people vote. And now they're saying don't let gay people have the same rights. You know, and I agree with you there, Dave, that in about 50 years or whatever amount of time it takes, they're going to look back and they go, see what kind of a fucktard you were?
Yep.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. All right. Let's get on to our topic tonight. And tonight's topic, did you know who was an atheist? We were going to be talking about Javier Bardem. I think I pronounced his name right.
Javier.
Javier. I was close. I was so close. He's a
It's Javier.
Javier. He was born March 1st. Hey, which is tomorrow. Yes. I knew it was coming up.
Imagine running your fingers through his hair when you say his name.
Javier. Javier. March 1st, 1969. So he's going to be 44. And he was a Spanish actor. In 2007, he won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor in his role as a psychopathic assassin in the movie No Country for Old Men. I have not yet to see that yet, so I really didn't know who this person was at first. But apparently he has won a Golden Globe, a Screen Actors Guild, has 5 Goya Awards. I don't know, is that a...
Because Spanish.
Spanish. Oh, okay. I thought it was because he was a hitman. He was a Goya. Goya. And 2 European Film Awards. He was the best prize actor for in the Cannes. And the 2 Capovolas at Venice for his work.
It might be Cannes.
Cannes. Yeah, it might be Cannes. Cannes. I don't know. They're the Cannes. No, I think it's Cannes. I think it's Cannes. I think that's Cannes. Anyway, he has a quote from GQ. This was posted on Celebrity Bitch. That's CelebritchY, Celebrity Bitchy. They were reposting an article from the GQ special, and they show where he's an atheist. He said, "I've always said I don't believe in God. I believe in Al Pacino." So
Al Pacino is real.
Yeah, Al Pacino is real, right? Well, until he dies, in which case he won't be. He would have been real, but...
Well, then he was real.
Right. But at least he believes that Al Pacino is real, but... Because Al Pacino is real. There's actual evidence to it. But he says right there, "I do not believe in God." And that right there makes you an atheist. If you don't... Some people say there's this line where they say that they're just agnostic because... But even though they don't believe in God, they're agnostic. Well, the thing is, if you, and I've said this before, if you don't believe in a God, that makes you an atheist. Full stop right there. You don't have to add all the extra stuff on there to say that you're an atheist. But right here he says that he does not believe in a God. Joe, your thoughts?
You stand to win everything. Call it. Yeah, I loved him in No Country for Old Men, but sadly, regrettably, I have not seen any of his other movies. He was in Skyfall, the James Bond movie, but I didn't see that either. And the majority of the body of his work is foreign films. He's a European actor, and sadly, I don't see as many foreign films like I used to when I was a hyper art house movie geek. I miss it, but he was great in No Country for Old Men, no doubt. He's fantastic. He made that movie. Like, he's like so memorable in that role.
Dave, your thoughts?
I think he's extremely talented. He continues to go to school for acting. Every year he takes a class and says that he's always trying to continue to learn how to be a better actor, which is pretty commendable as far as I'm concerned. Apparently he's kind of scared of guns.
Okay.
So his role in No Country for Old Men is even more impressive because he said that he was extremely uncomfortable anytime that he had to hold a gun in that movie.
Ah.
And that it was to the point where the guy who was the gun handler, who would give him the weapons and everything for each scene, was making fun of him and calling him a Spanish ballerina the entire time.
A Spanish ballerina?
God. Oh, yeah.
Because he didn't want to handle a gun?
Because he was so uncomfortable with it and looked so unnatural until he learned to look more natural with it. But off screen, he wouldn't touch him and didn't want anything to do with him.
How do you not look unnatural holding a gun? I mean, all right. First of all, that doesn't even make any sense.
This is what he
was
said.
Taking the gun and using it as a drink mixer?
Well, no, I mean, he just didn't know how to hold it properly. He had to have people instruct him to teach him how to hold it properly. Also, he doesn't drive, and he's never learned to drive. And in his scenes where he's had to drive in movies, he's had to learn to drive and has felt that he's impressed himself in the small amounts, small distances that he's had to drive it for different takes.
That's really not that unusual. There's a lot of people like Dave or Joe lives in New York. I bet you.
Well, especially in Europe or.
Yeah. In the larger cities like I said, New York for one. And so I think in some places of London and like other places in Europe that are really large cities, because they've got commuter availability to them. They got buses, trains, and whatnot, taxis and subways. So they just don't drive. And yeah. I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, nor do I. Javier Bardem is a very interesting person for a lot of different reasons, and he's got this whole background where his grandparents were both actors in the original movies that were coming out of Spain when movies first came out there.
Mm.
His uncle was actually imprisoned by Franco for making anti-fascist films.
Really?
Which is also quite interesting. Bardem has confessed to having worked as a stripper for one day only during his struggling acting career. I mean, he just has this whole wealth of really interesting things about him that I don't think a lot of people are really aware of. The quote that you had mentioned is actually from an interview with Time magazine that GQ had then taken and used in their interview as well.
Ah, I gotcha.
And they had referenced that from a Time magazine interview that he had done. But but yeah, he is not a native speaker of English, and he says that he has to work doubly hard anytime he has an English speaking role.
Hmm.
Because he really wants to own the words in English as though he understands them as well as he does in Spanish. And
yes.
That is a challenge for him. He was very upset about his haircut in No Country for Old Men.
Okay.
It's
hair. It grows back, man. Really? Trust me,
yeah.
It does.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But he was very upset because he's normally in, essentially chick flick type movies. You know? He was in Eat, Pray, Love, and he's in romantic comedies and things of that nature. So being in an action film like that was very different for him.
Yeah. Speaking of chick flick, there on the Slubber Bitchy website, there's a quote right here, not from him, but what they said here. He goes, Javet is so good at playing creepy. All you really have to do is put an awful wig on him, though. And all of a sudden, he goes from hot Spanish dude to, oh, my God, serial killer. Anyway, there's some highlights from Chavez's GQ interview. I didn't know he was an atheist. You know, All this other stuff that they put on there. And then they're like, oh, my God, I didn't know he was an atheist. Like he's got some terminal disease. Come on now, people.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the first time that he was approached to play an English-speaking role, he was only 27, and John Malkovich had approached him and asked him to play it, and he would not do it because his English wasn't good enough at the time.
Mm. Well, at least he's come a long way.
He certainly has, yeah.
And anyway, all right, well, we should that's Javier Bardem. So go ahead and look him up in Old Country for Old Men or what is that? Skyfall, the James
Skyfall?
Bond, Skyfall,
yeah.
International, or Skyfall, James Bond movie or whatever, and see him in action. But for us right now, I want to thank everybody for coming and waiting for us to get the show rolling, because like I said, we had a little technical glitch at the beginning. But we'll be back next week with our regular longer show, and hopefully I'll have all my little bugs fixed out. But until then, we'll see you next time. This has been Packard Pokeset. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.